Sybil, The Two Nations by Benjamin Disraeli. Volume 2, Book 4, Chapter 1. "Are you going down to the House, Edgerton?" inquired Mr. Berners at Brooks of a brother MP, about 4 o'clock in the early part of the spring of 1839. "The moment I have sealed this letter, we will walk down together if you like." And in a few minutes they left the club. "Our fellows are in a sort of fright about this Jamaica bill," said Mr. Edgerton in an undertone, as if he were afraid a passerby might overhear him. "Don't say anything about it, but there's a screw loose."
"The deuce!
But how do you mean?"
"They say the Rads are going to throw us over."
"Talk, talk! They have threatened this half a dozen times."
"Smoke, sir, it will end in smoke."
"I hope it may, but I know, in great confidence, mind you, that Lord John was saying something about it yesterday."
"That may be. I believe our fellows are heartily sick of the business, and perhaps would be glad of an excuse to break up the government. But we must not have Peel in. Nothing could prevent a dissolution. Their fellows go about and say that Peel would not dissolve if he came in."
"Trust him. He has had enough of dissolutions, they say.
Why, after all, they have not done him much harm. Even 34 was a hit."
"Whoever dissolves," said Mr. Edgerton, "I don't think there will be much of a majority either way in our time."
"We have seen strange things," said Mr. Berners.
"They never would think of breaking up the government without making their peers," said Mr. Edgerton.
"The Queen is not over partial to making more peers. And when parties are in the present state of equality, the sovereign is no longer a mere pageant. They say Her Majesty is more touched about these affairs of the Chartists than anything else," said Mr. Edgerton.
"They are rather queer, but for my part one have no serious fears of a Jackery. Not if it comes to an outbreak, but a passive resistance Jackery is altogether a different thing. When we see a regular convention assembled in London and holding its daily meetings in Palace Yard, and a general inclination evinced throughout the country to refrain from the consumption of excisable articles, I cannot help thinking that affairs are more serious than you imagine. I know the government are all on the convive."
"Just the fellows we wanted," exclaimed Lord Fitzheron, who was leaning on the arm of Lord Milford, and who met Mr. Edgerton and his friend in Pall Mall.
"We want a brace of pairs," said Lord Milford.
"Will you two fellows pair?"
"I must go down," said Mr. Edgerton. "But I will pair from 7:30 to 11.
"I just paired with Ormsby at White's," said Berners, "not half an hour ago.
We are both going to dine at Eskdale's, and so it was arranged.
Have you any news today?"
"Nothing, except that they say that Alfred Mountchesney is going to marry Lady Joan Fitzwaring," said Lord Milford.
"She has been given to so many," said Mr. Edgerton.
"It is always so with these great heiresses," said his companion. "They never marry. They cannot bear the thought of sharing their money. I bet Lady Joan will turn out another specimen of the Tabitha Croesus."
"Well, put down our pair, Edgerton," said Lord Fitzheron.
"You do not dine at Sidonia's by any chance?"
"Would that I did.
You will have the best dishes and the best guests.
I feed at Old Malton's, perhaps a tete-a-tete, Scotch broth, and to tell him the news. There is nothing like being a dutiful nephew, particularly when one's uncle is a bachelor and has 20,000 a year," said Lord Milford.
"Au revoir.
I suppose there will be no division tonight."
"No chance."
Edgerton and Berners walked on a little further. As they came to the Golden Ball, a lady quitting the shop was just about to get into her carriage. She stopped as she recognized them. It was Lady Firebrace.
"Ah, Mr. Berners, how d'ye do?
You were just the person I wanted to see. How is Lady Augusta, Mr. Edgerton?
You have no idea, Mr. Berners, how I have been fighting your battles."
"Really, Lady Firebrace," said Mr. Berners, rather uneasy, for he had perhaps, like most of us, a peculiar dislike to being attacked or cheapened. "You are too good."
"Oh,
I don't care what a person's politics are," exclaimed Lady Firebrace with an air of affectionate devotion. "I should be very glad indeed to see you one of us. You know your father was. But if anyone is my friend, I never will hear him attacked behind his back without fighting his battles. And I certainly did fight yours last night.
Pray tell me where it was?"
"Lady Crumbleford."
"Confound Lady Crumbleford," said Mr. Berners, indignant, but a little relieved.
"No, no, Lady Crumbleford told Lady Alicia Severn."
"Yes, yes," said Berners, a little pale, for he was touched.
"But I cannot stop," said Lady Firebrace. "I must be with Lady Street Julian's exactly at 4:15. And she sprang into her carriage.
"I would sooner meet any woman in London than Lady Firebrace," said Mr. Berners. "She makes me uneasy for the day. She contrives to convince me that the whole world are employed behind my back in abusing or ridiculing me."
"It is her way," said Edgerton.
She proves her zeal by showing you that you are odious. It is very successful with people of weak nerves. Scared at their general unpopularity, they seek refuge with the very person who at the same time assures them of their odium and alone believes it unjust. She rules that poor old goose, Lady Gramshaw, who feels that Lady Firebrace makes her life miserable.